Our reading from the scriptures is found in Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. Our text is found in the verses 9 through 14, and then the last ones, 23 through 27. Because of the length of that text, I will not be rereading it. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face. And God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. And a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee. And kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee and their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him, for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he begat, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him. And God went up from Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael his son, and all the men of his house, born in the house and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Again, we saw in verse 7 particularly, but also in verse 2, that God renews and expands his promise that he has established and will establish his covenant with Abraham. In our text, he tells Abraham that there is a sign that is to be attached to this relationship of friendship. And it is necessary that Abraham see that when God established this relationship with him, that Abraham must keep it. That it brings to Abraham a responsibility. And that responsibility is that Abraham keep it. He is to keep it by being himself circumcised and by administering circumcision to Ishmael and to all of the males of his household. Colossians 2:11 and 12 shows to us that baptism replaces circumcision, that they have the same meaning, but because the blood of Christ was shed, and even as there would be no more sacrifices where blood would be shed, so there could be no more shedding of blood in circumcision anymore. So the sign of circumcision, which took place only with the shedding of blood, had to be replaced and was replaced by Jesus with baptism. We take as our theme Abraham receiving the sign of circumcision. We could also say Abraham accepting the covenant, accepting the responsibility to keep the covenant. We look at it as a distinguishing sign. We look at it as a generational sign. We look at it as a responsible sign, a distinguishing sign. God declared Adam to be a federal head, a representative head of the whole human race. What happened to Adam not only was passed on to his generations, to his posterity, not only because he was a representative head, but also because he was the first father of everyone in the whole human race. As that first father, Adam passed along to his posterity the corruption of sin, the sinful nature. Just as he passed on genetics, so he passed on that sinful nature, that corrupted part of original sin. And as a result, everyone that came from Adam possesses that same nature. God, in his grace, took out of that group represented by Adam a people that he calls them the called out ones. He called out of that group represented by Adam another group to be represented by Abraham. Now remember, last Sunday we saw that in Romans 4 and in Galatians 3, Abraham is called the father of all believers. Those who are called out of the human race represented by Adam have that name. The Greek word for called out is ekklesia. The word ekklesia in the Greek is translated church. So we have the subject of ecclesiology or ecclesiastics or an ecclesiastical order. That word called out refers to this other group distinguished from that represented by Adam. Now there's a group called out to be represented by Abram. Those with those called out ones, God has established that special relationship called the covenant. Isaiah 43 speaks of them this way. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Isaiah 43:21. He speaks of them earlier in the first two verses this way. Thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. I have formed thee for my praise. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, thou art an holy people. Remember, the word holy means set apart, not common anymore, specifically devoted to God. Thou art an holy people unto Jehovah thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. And then just continue the thought in the next verse. The Lord did not set his love upon thee, nor choose you, because ye are more in number than any people, for ye are the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he has sworn to your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Called out, special group, distinguished from all of the human race represented by Adam. Now God says, this special distinguished group is to have a mark, a physical mark, that will distinguish them. That mark will not be obviously present and visible. We'll explain why later. But they are to have a mark that consists of a representation of a spiritual reality. The mark will consist of the cutting away, the cutting off of a portion of the flesh, of the flesh. Now remember the passages of Scripture which speak of the lusts of the flesh and of the pride of life. Many similar expressions about our flesh. Not because sin resides in the body, that's the spiritual reality, but the picture, the outward picture, is that it's in our flesh that we give expression to the lusts of our heart. So that flesh, a part of that flesh, is cut off. The cutting off of that flesh does not disfigure. It doesn't make them obviously strange. My father has had some cancer on his ear. And as a result of the cancer on his ear, a part of the top of his ear is cut off. It disfigures him. The grandkids notice it and they look. The sign that God gave, cut off flesh, without disfiguring. And it left one cleaner. But the sign was a cutting off of the flesh, which included and necessitated the shedding of blood. The shedding of blood. A circle cut, circumcision, the very word. A cut in a circle was necessary. But that resulted in blood being shed. And that's why Moses' wife, Jethro's daughter Zipporah, when God called Moses to come back to the land of Egypt, he had a wife and he had two sons. And when he was obeying God and on his way, but had not circumcised his sons, he was, but not those two sons. It came to pass in Exodus chapter 4. It came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him, Moses, and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, "Surely a bloody man art thou to me." So he let him go. Then she said, "A bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision." Now, set aside the other thoughts, but just focus. It necessitated hurting her son. And that's why Zipporah, blood had to be shed in order for that flesh to be cut off. And that's why Zipporah looked at Abraham and blamed him for being a bloody husband. Now, that's the distinguishing sign. What's the reality? God left no doubt that it was not something physical in the body that really distinguished them. So the Apostle Paul, as he does in other places in his letters, in Romans chapter 2, at the very end, identifies what it means to have Abraham as your father. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, real circumcision, that of the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. A heart that cuts off the lusts of the flesh, that will not perform the lusts of the flesh. The reality is pictured in Colossians chapter 2, where baptism and circumcision are identified. The apostle is writing to non-Jews that made up the church at Colossae. He says to them, remember in Colossians, there was the danger that people were tempting them to add to what Jesus did. And he pointed out, in Christ is the fullness in the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He has it all. But then he says this, ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without human hands, in putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Christ circumcised you. No human hands. It cut off the sins of the flesh in your heart. You were buried with him by baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, which hath raised him from the dead. Buried in baptism, come out, newness of life, he says in Romans chapter 6. You were buried with him, you were raised with him. God inspired Moses, who wrote these words, to speak similar words in Deuteronomy 10, verses 15 and 16. And now, Israel, listen, these are beautiful words, starting at 10, verse 12. What doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, the earth also, and all that is therein. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them and to choose their seed after them, even you above all the people as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more. Now notice the opposite. When you don't circumcise the foreskin of your heart, be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a mighty God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. It's a circumcision of the heart. Same thing, Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise. You circumcise your flesh. You circumcise your heart. Here in Deuteronomy, that's Deuteronomy 10. Now here, the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. Circumcise your heart and your soul. In order to have heart circumcision, wait a minute. To have physical circumcision, blood has to be shed. Your blood. To have spiritual circumcision, to have God circumcise the heart, the flesh of your heart, the heart of your flesh. The blood of God's Son must be shed. All the shedding of blood, sacrifice, circumcision, pointed ahead. This is what sin has earned: death. The wages that sin earns, God's wrath, that's death. And to have the heart circumcised is to believe with the heart that God has performed the work that's necessary in the death of his Son, in the shedding of the blood of his Son, in his Son bearing the wrath for what my sins have earned, so that my heart can be circumcised and I can say no to being stubborn and stiff-necked. And I can say yes I love thee. That's taking Deuteronomy 10 and Deuteronomy 30 together. God performs that work of the heart. God teaches us that he justifies us by the work of his Son without our efforts. And God performs that work on the flesh of Abram, the father of all believers. Now, God had told Abraham that he established his covenant with him earlier, and even earlier in this chapter. Why now does God say the sign? Why does he add the sign now? Why didn't he add it right away in chapter 15 when he told Abraham, I will establish my covenant with you, or I have established it with you? The answer to that is, the child that God would establish that covenant with subsequent to Abram earlier was not in view. And it wasn't in view until God showed to Abraham and Sarah, as impossible as what it is, but you're going to have it happen. I'm going to do it to you at 190. You're going to have a child. When it's physically and has always been impossible for you to do, I'm going to give you a son. As impossible that is, except for my amazing divine work. So, God displays to Abraham and to us, it's not only a work of grace that you are saved, but it's also an amazing work of grace that any of your children would be saved. Because you gave them the right to die. But only I can give them the right to have the real circumcision of the heart. Miracle. Miracle. That's why the sign was on the organ of reproduction. The sign of circumcision was not taking off a pierce of an earlobe or something else that would be obviously visible. But the sign of circumcision was to indicate something about the children that were going to be taught about the God of their fathers. And so God performed it on the organ of reproduction, the organ that reproduces males and the organ that produces females. Both pass through the circle of the blood that saves anyone. And so God, now ready to tell 99-year-old Abraham and 89-year-old Sarah, you're going to have a child. Now is the time when God says, there will be circumcision before there will be conception. This teaches that God usually, graciously establishes that relationship of friendship in the line of generations. Not always, and not only, but usually. But now be careful. The sign, just possessing the sign of circumcision, just as possessing the sign of baptism, is only a sign. It does not make one spiritually distinct or spiritually different. Many elect do not receive the sign. All the females. Many unbelievers, non-elect, reprobate, do receive it, have received it. Having the sign does not indicate that individual's faith. But the sign shows that salvation is only by grace, without works. And it shows that the norm, the usual, is that the covenant goes in the line of generations. The key to the sign is not the sign, but the faith that takes a hold of what the sign indicates. Baptism. Faith. Our exercising faith as we watch the water. Our exercising faith when we see the bread broken and the wine poured out. That to faith, it's of great value. Without faith, it's just a picture. Nothing. Faith sees the reality in circumcision as well as baptism. And then it means salvation is by grace. Miraculous. Amazing grace. It's a responsible sign too. It's a distinguishing sign. It's a spiritually significant sign. And it's a responsible sign. God said to Abraham, verse 9, "Thou shalt keep my covenant. Therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations." To keep, the word in the Hebrew literally means observe, guard, take heed. Go back to that beautiful part of the baptism form. Whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, not parties, not two making it happen, but a responsibility that comes with those in the covenant. And that responsibility is that we walk in the new obedience. We're able to obey, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, trust in him with all of our heart, love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, forsake the world, crucify the old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. Take this sign. This is the way right now you are to keep the relationship that I've established with you graciously, that you show you understand and appreciate the wonder of that grace that saves a wretch like you. You're obliged to make right use of it. This morning, Cody Kamiga came into the consistory room to make arrangements for a baptism in 2 weeks for Walker, their little baby son. They're ready to take the vows, the same vows that we all do. They want to make right use of the sign. In 2 weeks, when the sign is being administered for all of us to see, we have to keep, we have to guard the reality and the truth of the relationship by exercising the faith that God has given to us. We're not going to look at what Walker's wearing. We're not going to look at what Cody and Aaron are wearing. We're going to look at the water and what God has done to wash away sins and make us clean. Otherwise, just an empty ceremony. Means nothing. But to guard, to keep, to take heed to the relationship, God now comes and he says, just as I told you in verse 1, walk before me, be thou sincere and wholehearted. So now I say to you, take a knife and circumcise, make a circle cut on yourself, Ishmael, and every male in your household. God made a special admonition to them about when it was to take place. Today, baby boys are circumcised often within a day or two of birth. God said to Abram and to the children of Israel, you wait one whole week. And for one whole week, you look at that little baby boy and you realize it's uncircumcised, it's undistinguished. It's just like everyone else that is a seed of Abraham. It's in this group that's damned. And then after a week, after you stand in the realization of what you have given that child, the right to die in hell, now I command you, because I have established a relationship of grace with you, that now you perform a work. You take heed to this relationship. And now you perform the sacrament of circumcision. But even as you do it, don't look at the sign. Look at your hearts. Look at the reality. I am committed to loving God. I am committed to cutting off any walk in the sins of my flesh. I must say no. I must say yes. I must say no, I must say yes, I must say no, I must say yes, over and over and over in all of our life. Circumcise your heart. Love him with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Express your sight of faith that takes hold of God's work in Jesus Christ. And do it. Not in order to be saved, do it as an expression of your thanks. Your gratitude. You're reflecting his love back to him. That's why we do it. That's how we guard, take heed to, keep that relationship. Going to be painful. Physically, it was painful. Abraham and Ishmael cheerfully accepted the days of pain as an expression of their gratitude to God for his undying and eternal love. They weren't going to stop. They were going to love him joyfully and willingly. Now, there's another side. Keep it. Take heed to it. You refuse. You say no. You say, God will do it all. I don't have to. You will be cut off. The uncircumcised man-child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off. Now, this is a sign. It's a picture. This is just the sign. What the reality is, you don't say no to your flesh. You don't say, yes, I love the Lord. You shall be cut off from his people. You're back over here. As a seed of Adam, God demanded that if his sign was despised, that person was to be cut off. To accept circumcision by faith, to exercise the faith to see what God is teaching us about a circumcised heart and life, circumcised soul, then that means we accept the sign. Whether we have never been baptized before, so there's adult baptism, that was Matthew, or the children, we want to bring them here and we want to tell them, you were baptized. This is the date in which you were baptized. This is the minister that performed the sacrament to you. You are baptized, but that's just a picture. Walk as one who knows the reality of baptism. Declare yourself to be one who cleaves to the Lord, who yearns for him, who never wants to be separated from him. Or take the words, maybe this is the best way to say it. Psalm 63, 1a. O God, thou art my God. Amen. Bless thy word, O covenant God, so that we as those who receive that covenant with whom thou hast established it, live in constant appreciation for the grace that saves us and keeps us saved in spite of our constant sinning. May we live in repentance and godly sorrow and in hungering and thirsting after thy righteousness. For Jesus' sake, we pray this prayer. Amen.